listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar. She glides along the woodlands, through hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, lonesome hobo's call. While traveling through the jungle on a Wabash cannonball. Along the woodland, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear the lonesome hobo's squall. She's traveling through the jungle, the Wabash cannonball.
So listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar, as she glides along the woodland, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear the lonesome hobo's squall. You're traveling through the jungle on the Wabash cannonball. You're traveling through the jungle on the Wabash cannonball.
Hello, welcome to a Six String Hayride podcast, a journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison, to dancing, to drinking, to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart and let's go. Welcome to the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast with Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. Today we are going to spend some time with the women of the West. Patsy Montana.
The older lady, older lady, older lady, older lady, older lady. I want to be a cowboy. I want to learn to rope and to ride. I want to ride o'er the plains and the desert, out west of the great divide. I want to hear the coyotes howling while the sun sinks in the west. I want to be a cowboy sweetheart. That's the life that I love best.
Rose Maddox.
I'm going down, 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 going down, down, down. I got nobody to love me now. I'm sorrow bound, 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 since you've left this town. Since you've left, I'm going down, down, down. I never thought my life could be so lonely. I never thought my head could hang so low. I love you, my darling, and you only. Don't know where you are, but there I've got to go.
And Wanda Jackson.
Some people like to rock, some people like to roll, but moving in a groove is gonna satisfy my soul. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. The rest in it to the store. Let's buy some more. Let's have a party tonight. I never kissed a bear, I never kissed a goose, but I can shake a chicken in the middle.
Starting with Patsy Montana, these are three women that had huge impact on country and rockabilly music, not just for their musical ability. All three great musicians, great performers, but their influence on live performance, on a stage show, on the showmanship and on the fashion, on the look of how you are when you're on stage. All three of these women had a huge influence on that part of the business. Something that you see, in our era in pop music, from people like Emmy Lou Harris, who was a huge Rose Maddox
Here
fan.
Are Rose, Emmy Lou, and John.
I'm going down, 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 I'm going down, down, down. Got nobody to love me now. I'm sorrow bound, bound, bound. Since you left this town, since you left, I'm going down, down, down.
Wanda Jackson wound up her career just in the last 10 years, performing with Jack White and with Joan Jett on her final record. So, the impact that these women have had is still being felt to this day. Again, all three great performers in their own right. These are all women that we have mentioned from time to time on the show and played some of their music. So let's, get into a little more detail, play a lot more of their music, and Chris and I will kind of give you the rundown on why we think they're important and why we like them.
These three ladies are known for differing reasons. Patsy, because she becomes the first ever to sell a million copies of a song as a female artist.
One of my favorite songs to sing. It was written by my hero, Miss Patsy Montana. She wrote it in 1935, and it was the first million-selling record for a chick singer.
All right, we're going to kick this episode off by talking about Patsy Montana. She was born on October 30th, 1908, and she lived a nice long life, passing away on May 3rd of 1996. At birth, her name was Ruby Rose Blevins. Ruby was spelled the traditional way, R-U-B-Y, but later on she adds an E to the end of that to stylize it Ruby, which looks like Rubby to me, but Ruby knows best. Her main claim to fame is that she is the first to sell a million with I Wanna Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. No other female artist had ever sold a million copies prior to her. In 1929, she actually goes to study violin at UCLA. In 1933, she was traveling to Chicago for the World's Fair with two of her brothers to show a prize watermelon they had raised. And she wound up being auditioned to join a group called the Prairie Ramblers on WLS's barn dance program. So if that's not the most like country thing imaginable, I don't know what is. You're taking watermelons to the World's Fair and you wind up on the barn dance. Go Patsy.
I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend. I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'll never, never do it again.
She did make one feature-length film with Gene Autry and Smiley Burdette, which was called Colorado Sunset.
Riding along with my hat thrown back, my pony's bridle is a jingling a tune. Nighttime is falling and the night owl is calling. We'll be making our camp by the light of the moon. Blowing, sagebrush is growing, spreading its scent on the soft summer breeze. My old panel pony is my only companion as we ride the wide prairies with the greatest of these.
Acting apparently was not meant to be a second career for her, but it is nice that we do have that one. Much nicer than, say, Clint Eastwood's one of Paint Your Wagon.
Gonna paint our wagon, gonna paint it good. We ain't bragging, we're gonna coat that wood.
We're gonna paint that wagon, we're gonna paint it good. They ain't bragging, we're gonna coat that wood.
In the 50s, she was semi-retired. She more or less wasn't doing any work of note, but in 1964, she comes back and she releases an album on the Sims label in Arizona called At the Matador Room, which features Waylon Jennings on guitar before he became a star.
My little sister is 5 years old. She sits by the window and looks down the road. When those big trucks go rolling by, she says to me with a sigh,
Of course, Cowboy Sweetheart is the song she's the most famous for, but some of her better efforts other than that include Back on the Montana Plains.
Back on the Montana Plains. from an old tin can when the moon goes to shine and high. I wanna hear the call of the whippoorwills. I wanna hear a coyote whine. I wanna have my saddle horse by my side, or riding him out on the range, just to kick him in the side, just to show his stepping pride out on Montana plains.
The Cowgirls song and her version of Wabash Cannonball.
All aboard! All aboard for the Wabash Cannonball!
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from sunny California to ice-bound Labrador, she's mighty tall and handsome, known quite well by all. She's a hobo's commendation called Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar. She glides along the woodlands, through hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, lonesome hobo's call. I'll travel through the jungle on Wabash Cannonball.
Somebody who's really responsible to a large degree for my appreciation of Patsy Montana. Here to tell you more about her, Jim O'Malley.
Patsy Montana, Rose Maddox, and Wanda Jackson are all the first to have accomplished something to further country and Western music. And really, you know, more Western music. Patsy Montana, you know, she's 21 years old when she gets an offer, you know, scholarship offer to go to UCLA and study violin. That's a pretty big accomplishment for a female musician in the 1920s. And she's already at 21 years old, so she's been out of high school for a little bit. You know, you've got to be pretty good to have captured their attention at that point. And then, you know, like Chris said, this is, you know, you would think this was right out of Keehaw or something. In 1933, she's traveling to Chicago with prize watermelons. And I don't know if they're in a car or on the railroad, but, you know, watermelon is a relatively easy thing to break. And you are bringing it, you know, at least across a few states. You know, it's that time of year when people gather up their watermelons and come to Chicago. Still happens to this day.
Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing?
So Patsy Montana's in Chicago for the World's Fair in 1933, and it's her singing that gets noticed. She's asked to audition for the WLS barn dance program. Gene Autry is already there. Barn dance had gotten started here in Chicago just a little bit before the Opry started in Nashville. It is the, you know, high standard for country music radio broadcast at the national level at that point. She does make one movie with Gene Autry. Most of her work with him comes in the form of the barn dance, the radio program. And she has a huge hit in 1935. She writes it, she plays guitar, and she plays violin, and she yodels. 1935, she sells a million copies of I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. And she kind of, you know, she's a good musician. She's a clever songwriter. The one from her that I really like that I think should get as much attention as Cowboy Sweetheart is kind of a novelty, a joke song called I Didn't Know the Gun Was Loaded.
Miss Effie was her name. Through the West she won her fame, being handy with a gun. But she drove the men insane, 'cause she'd whip out her pistol and shoot most any guy, then sing out this alibi. I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend. I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'll never, never do it again.
Then it's right back to the sweetheart thing. She wants to be a truck driver sweetheart, The last single in that run is called I Only Want a Buddy, Not a Sweetheart.
I only want a buddy, not a sweetheart. Buddies never make you blue. Sweethearts make vows and they're broken, broken like the hearts are broken too. Don't tell me that you love me, say you like me. No lovers' quarrels, no bungalows for two. Don't turn down lovers' lane, just keep right on a-saying, I only want a buddy, not a gal.
The other thing that Montana is really a pioneer for is much in the same way like Gene Autry, that wearing the Western style clothes, the fringe and the leather and the colorful designs and the little, you know, bullhorns on your shoulders and things like that. This is something that Rose Maddox would really take to the next level. And then by the time we get into the 60s with the nudie suits, with people like Buck Owens and Gram Parsons, I mean, it just really takes off at that point. But Patsy Montana is the first, you know, million-selling female performer, and she's the first one who's out there writing her own songs and dressing up in the traditional Western look. And, you know, she creates that idea of the female Western performer and kind of sets a standard for that. So when you see the Trio's album cover with Emmy Lou and Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt, you know, they're wearing that Western kind of fashion in that photo, that goes all the way back. That is the legacy of Patsy Montana. She wanted to be everybody's sweetheart, and everybody wanted to be hers. She was she made some good records, and she really broke a lot of barriers for female musicians. Late in her career, she kind of put out a best of record where she recorded newer versions of the songs. And good old David Letterman, a friend of quality musicians everywhere, had her on the show. And she did, you know, I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. She looked great. She had the cowboy hat on, the cowgirl hat. And we'll play some of that as well. Great Patsy Montana.
Way back in 1935, our next guest became the first country western singer to sell more than 1 million records. Her new album, which I have a copy of right here, is called Cowboy's Sweetheart, Singing Now, the song that made her famous. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Patsy Montana, right here.
I want to be a cowboy sweetheart. I want to learn to rope and ride. I want to ride over the plains and the desert, out west of the great divide. I want to hear the coyotes howling while the sun sets in the west. I want to be a cowboy sweetheart, the life I love the best.
Well, that was a real boost. We enjoyed that.
Well, thank you very
now,
much.
Now, that's the song that made you famous?
Well, it's my song.
It is your song, and it's the Cowboy's Sweetheart?
I Want to Be a Cowboy
Sweetheart. I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. Did you write the song?
Yeah.
What
1935.
35, and that sold a million records.
It was the first country and western girl to sell a million records.
What was life for you like back then? Did you just travel all over the United States?
Yeah.
Appearing
Indiana. We played every spot in Indiana. Uh-huh. Whistle stops and in between.
Yeah. In theaters, in bars, fairs, and that kind of thing?
Do you remember the old WLS National Barn Dance?
I'm sorry, did I?
Do you remember the old WLS National Barn Dance?
Oh, sure, out of Chicago. No, I remember that, yeah.
There's a few who know it all and they've been there before me. They've got all the answers and they could be right, it's true. It never lasts, they told me country's far too simple. But I don't need no fancy call to get my message through.
I'm still
Rose Maddox.
First of all, how many brothers did you sing with?
Four.
Okay, what were their names?
Fred, Cal, Don, and Henry.
Now, who's living?
Fred and Don.
Okay. Are they retired?
Fred is retired. Don's got a big cattle ranch in Oregon.
I want to ask you about something I heard about your act one time, because I never really knew you that well. Did all of you have a Cadillac?
Yeah.
And travel down the road?
Including Mama, and she couldn't drive.
Okay.
That's because she absolutely, you know, dominated the country world in her family band when she was younger. But then after that stops, she goes on to a very successful solo career.
Way out in Reno, Nevada, where romance blooms and fades, a great Philadelphia lawyer was in love with a Hollywood maid. Come love and we will wander down where the lights are bright. I'll win you a divorce from your husband and we can get married tonight.
So there's different reasons that we want to talk about these ladies, but in all cases, the main reason is because we think that people should know a lot more about them than they do. And this actually mimics part of my own journey in learning about this music, because to be honest, before starting the podcast, I mean, I knew a little bit about Rose Maddox, but I really didn't know much of anything about either Patsy Montana or Wanda Jackson. The names, sure, a song or two, okay. But now I actually feel like I understand their careers much better.
Well, we know that a big part of the Bakersfield sound and tradition in country music comes from that original Depression and Dust Bowl migration of people from Oklahoma, you know, through into Southern and Central California. Certainly Woody Guthrie with the Dust Bowl ballads really, you know, is the beginning of that tradition in music. Mostly in terms of the songwriting and the cultural storytelling, from Woody Guthrie, it goes to Merle Haggard. But in the middle of all this is the Maddox family. They have a mom and a dad with a bunch of kids, a bunch of sons, and their daughter, Rose. And they leave Oklahoma in the 1930s, and they make their way out to California. And, you know, this is well before media and certainly internet are the big things in culture that they are now. But ultimately, the story of these two parents and their truckload of kids coming from Oklahoma into California makes its way to the press. And they settle in the town of Modesto, California. Modesto is probably only famous because it is the childhood home of filmmaker George Lucas, but this is where the Maddox family settles. And the brothers, Cal, Fred, Cliff, Henry, and Don, really to make money, you know, because they're migrant farmers. And to make money, they start a band in the late 1930s. And they have their little sister, Rose, who is a firecracker of a personality and turns out a pretty good singer. So they're able to generate some local attention. They do a lot of local live appearances, county fairs, you know, things like that. And they start getting on the radio locally in California, and they draw attention from there. And their first really noted recording is Philadelphia Lawyer.
A shadow he saw on the shade, 'twas the great Philadelphia. Making love to Bill's Hollywood maid. The night was as still as the desert, the moon hanging high overhead. Bill listened a while
and they have, you know, kind of a hit. They have success with that. And they keep going until the mid-1950s. And that's when Rose breaks out on her own. And, you know, as much as I'd been listening to Patsy Montana, you know, for a long time and kind of got Christmas some of that, the Rose Maddox stuff on her own, that's really something where Chris is the clever one here. And he's going to tell you about Rose Maddox and her solo work.
Still brewed white light until the sun went down. Then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Pappy's corn squeezing. Shh, white lightning. Well, a G-man, a T-man, a revenuers too, searching for the place where he made his brew. They was a looking, trying to book him, but my Pappy kept on cooking. White lightning.
I'll share with the listeners the only thing I know about Modesto, California, which is that Reggie Jackson played minor league baseball for the Modesto Reds in Modesto, California. As Jim mentioned, she gets her start with the Maddox Brothers and Rose. This is a family band. It's her brothers Cal, Fred, Cliff, Henry, and Don. This lineup goes from 1937 to 1958. After this, Rose will continue recording and releasing new material for most of the rest of her life. She is one of the early customers of Nathan Turk. And for anyone who doesn't know who Nathan Turk is, he was a designer of very colorful Western wear. He was not as famous as Nudie Cohen, but he designed things that were similar in style.
And now we're the talk of the town. Rumors are flying like leaves in the air, whispering that I let you down.
And one thing for certain, it's out of their hurting. They've made us the talk of the town.
Some of my favorite Maddox Brothers and Rose songs are their versions of Move It On Over, Honky Tonkin'.
Come in last night about 10:30. That man of mine wouldn't let me in, so move it on over. Honey, baby, we'll go honky tonkin' around the town.
In 1962, which is relatively early in her solo career, she makes a switch to start favoring bluegrass music, and this leads to some sides that she cuts in 1962 with Bill Monroe, which are incredible.
Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. The people would come from far away. They dance all night till the break of day when the caller hollered, "Oh,
ready to go. Late in the evening, about sundown, high on a hill and above the town, Uncle Ben played the fiddle, oh, the oddwood rang. You could hear it talk, you could hear it sing.
One of the nicest tributes I have ever read about any artist is something that Johnny Cash said on the final track for her final album. Cash said, "I worked with Rose Maddox a lot back over the years, and I found that when she started working my show, that she was probably the most fascinating, exciting performer that I'd ever seen in my life. She was a total performer. She captivated the audience. She held them in the palm of her hand and made them do whatever she wanted to. The songs that she sang were classics, and I loved the way she sang and kind of danced at the same time. I thought there was, and still think that, there will never be a woman who could outperform Rose Maddox. She's an American classic."
Will a circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
So if that's what Mr. Cash has to say, that's good enough for me. Rose Maddox, American classic.
Here to induct Wanda Jackson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Roseanne Cash.
Wanda Jackson. Even her name sounds like a declaration and a promise. Wanda Jackson. I asked Wanda what she wanted people to know most about her, and she said, number one, I can rock. Number two, I was a lady, and reputations are important. And number three, rock and roll and God are not mutually exclusive.
I learned a little bit about Wanda Jackson, and all of a sudden I start listening to everything she's done that I could, you know, get a hold of.
Well, hello there. Gee, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Oh, I guess that I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny how time slips away?
Wanda, because she's a rockabilly pioneer.
I like
like him fine, but he takes me for granted all of the time. To teach him a lesson and make him mad, I went out on a date with the best friend he had. That made him mad, boy. Hot dog, that made him mad.
In the mid-1950s, when rockabilly is emerging as one of the brilliant offshoots of the classic country music tree, we don't just get Carl Perkins and Eddie Cochran and Duane Eddy. A young woman who does not begin live performance on the road until she finishes high school. In 1955, we get the great Wanda Jackson.
Make one lonely week. Seven lonely nights make one lonely me. Ever since the time you told me we were through, seven lonely days I cried and cried for you. Oh, my darling, I'm crying. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. There's no use in denying I cried for you. It was your favorite pastime, making me blue. Last night was the last time I'll cry for you.
Wanda Jackson is born in 1937. Wanda Jackson gets discovered by Hank Thompson in 1954 and gets her to do some demos and gets her signed with Decca Records. Her first single is called You Can't Have My Love. She does it as a duet with Billy Gray, and this goes to number 8. In 1955, she gets started on the Grand Ole Opry. And Ernest Tubb gives her a hard time about the dress that she's wearing.
At the Grand Ole Opry here in Nashville, Tennessee, everyone will be happy, everybody but me. Tonight I'll be there by myself, I won't be with somebody else, 'cause the one that I love has been stolen away.
Dress that her mom made for her, and she has to cover it up with a jacket. Ernest tells her, you know, dress is unacceptable. Wanda figures out early in her career that the Opry is not really for her, so she continues to travel and do radio and TV work.
Come, you say you will when you won't. Tell me you do, baby, when you don't. Let me know, honey, how you feel. Tell the truth now, is love real or No, honey, don't. Yeah, honey, don't pop, 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 pop. Honey, don't pop, pop.
She is one of the first women to have a career in rock. And this happens when she's discovered by Hank Thompson, who helps her get signed to Decca Records in 1954. This comes from the year prior when she was appearing on Thompson's television show. He cuts a series of demos with her and he tries to get her signed to his own label, which is Capitol Records. But she's rejected by Ken Nelson, who, of course, we've spoken about many times on the podcast. And he tells her, you know, quote, girls don't sell records. And she admits in her book that when she overheard this conversation, she understood that Ken was not being sexist. He was just talking business. But she still says that she felt very compelled to prove him wrong. Her first single You Can't Have My Love was recorded as a duet with Billy Gray, who was also in Hank Thompson's band. Thompson was trying to break Gray as a performer as well. The song goes to number 8. It is March of 1955 when she makes her debut and swan song on the Opry. This comes about when she appears wearing a spaghetti strap dress with a sweetheart neckline, which her mother made for her. And host Ernest Tubb tells her that that's not acceptable.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
And she covers it with a fringe jacket and also decides that the Opry is not for her. And I got to tell you, even 69 years after the fact, these kind of stories still just irk the crap out of me. There's nothing inappropriate about a dress like that. There just isn't. I mean, good Lord. And that it was Ernest Tubb is just really annoying.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Anyways, one of the most amazing facts to me about Wanda Jackson is I've just told you about a lot of things, right? She's been appearing on TV. She's made a lot of demos. She's auditioned for Capitol. While she didn't get signed at Capitol, she did get signed at Decca. She's now been on the Opry. She's got a single that's already been a top 10. And the reason this is all so amazing is that it's after this that she graduates high school.
Oh, baby, fun, fun.
Her first concert dates include an up-and-comer by the name of Elvis Presley. She also joins the Ozark Jubilee that same year, so she's picking up a decent career for herself here pretty early on. And in 1956, she manages to get Decca to release her from her contract, along with Hank Thompson's help there. And she signs with, you guessed it, Capitol Records. In 1957 and 58, she begins working with a new booking agent, and she winds up on bills with performers such as Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins. Also in 1958, she releases Fujiyama Mama.
I've been to Nagasaki, Hiroshima too. The same I did to them, baby, I can do to you. Cause I'm a Fujiyama Mama and I'm just about to blow my top. Fujiyama Yama, Fujiyama. And when I start erupting, ain't nobody gonna make me stop.
Which Nelson is reluctant to release since it contains references to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but the record just tears up the Japanese charts where it reaches number one. And this actually leads to a tour of Japan. In 1960, an Iowa DJ discovers Let's Have a Party and starts playing it regularly. The song actually makes it to number 37 pop, which makes it her first rock hit, as well as her signature song. And this leads to her naming her band the Party Timers.
Joe is knocking at the door. Bring him in and fill him up and say,
She does mix it up quite a bit over the years. She's in some ways kind of like a female Neil Young. She's very genre fluid. At times she's recording songs that are straight rock or country or gospel or rockabilly. So she does not feel tied down to any sort of narrow definition of what it means to be a performer. And this leads to an awful lot of good musical output. So we have I Gotta Know, which is a rockabilly track.
Gotta know if our love's the real thing. Where is my wedding ring? Yeah, we rock and roll till the broad daylight. You're a little too poof to kiss your baby goodnight. I know you've had it when the rocking is through, so I let you go home. What else can I do? One thing, I gotta know, I gotta know.
In the middle of a heartache.
I'm in the middle of a heartache, half out, half in, not quite out of love with you, not too much in love with him. I'm in the middle of a heartbreak, halfway, half blue. Can't give all my love to him when I'm still in love with you.
Between 1955 and 2019, Wanda Jackson puts out 81 singles. That's, you know, to keep working like that, you know, one, you're doing something right. Two, the audience also believes that you are doing something right. She does have a kind of stereotypical lull in the middle of her career in the 1970s. She has some issues with drinking. She gets into rehab. And big surprise, she puts out a run of gospel records. She finds God. And she hits the, you know, the kind of Bible Belt touring circuit and stops doing the rockabilly for a while and does gospel for a few years. There's that big rockabilly revival in the early 80s, and she starts performing in Europe and in Japan again. She gets popular around the United States a bit. What starts in the mid-50s, you know, just really leads to, you know, decades long. You know, she retires in 2019 because she suffers a series of strokes. She is in poor health these days. You know, she stays home. But from 1955 to 2019, I mean, that's a hell of a run. Her last couple albums, you know, clearly she has an influence on younger musicians. Over her last few records, she has collaborations with Jack White, with Justin Townes Earl, and with Joan Jett. The video with her and Joan Jett just looks like they're having a great time. You know, Chris is right that her record label was reluctant to put out Fujiyama Mama in the mid-50s. It does mention Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And we're just, you know, 10, 12 years after the end of World War II and the atomic bombing in Japan. What's going on culturally and artistically in Japan itself at this time is the beginning of the Godzilla movie.
Oh, no, there goes Tokyo.
mid to late 1950s is when Godzilla emerges in Japanese culture as a cinema event, has really become an incredibly popular phenomenon, for over 50 years. And then the other thing you have going on in Japanese film is the beginning of the Kurosawa run with films like The Seven Samurai. So the idea that the Japanese people are open to different kinds of art and pop culture, and there's not a don't talk about the war kind of heaviness to it. Yeah, Fujiyama Mama was a big hit record. People were, very receptive, and that was the beginning of Wanda Jackson having popularity outside of the southern United States. Wanda had a really powerful voice, and she had an incredible range. And the thing that she's known for kind of starting, or as a trademark thing in her rockabilly singing, is her growl. It's been described as dynamite wrapped up in sandpaper. To have a voice capable of handling country and Western swing and rockabilly and gospel and the ballads that she's done, it just really a great singer. And in that tradition of Patsy Montana and Rose Maddox, a great live performer, the combination of the dancing, the singing, the charisma, and that Western, fashion style. You can really follow from Montana to Rose Maddox and then to Wanda Jackson, and you see the progression there. You see how one has influenced the next. And, again, when Wanda Jackson is wrapping up her recording career, she's got Joan Jett collaborating with her. So clearly, lasting influence, an important legacy. All three women. The major focus here is Western swing and Western music, but Patsy Montana, Rose Maddox, Wanda Jackson, from Western swing, from the cowboy music and on through into rockabilly and straight rock and roll, three real pioneers and three women, that should be more recognized than they are. Like we always say, go tell your friends. Put on these records, turn them up really loud, open up all the windows, tell the neighborhood, this is some good music. People should know about it and take Wanda's advice. Have a party.
You can always reach us by email at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com with the word six spelled out. You can also find our Facebook page by searching Six String Hayride, But what we'd really appreciate you doing is searching us out on Patreon. Again, on Patreon, which is patreon.com, you can find us by searching Six String Hayride with the six spelled out. We couldn't do this without you, and we certainly do this for you. Thank you. We'll see you next time. And listeners, we'd like to invite you to our upcoming episodes where we're going to switch topics from women of the West to films of the West. Jim and I will both discuss our top 10 favorite Western films of all time. You'll notice that we may or may not put them in any particular order when it comes time to discuss them.
Drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed.
We've got Chris talking about some buffalo chicken pasta. It is spicy. It is pasta. It sounds damn good.
We have started a Facebook group, Six String Hayride Classic Country Music and Beyond. If you search that in groups on Facebook, you can ask for permission to join. And we really want to shout out the community that we're building there. It's been very inclusive. A lot of people sharing music that they like. A lot of really good classic country music, a lot of good newer country music with a classic tinge. So it's been a very successful experiment so far. We definitely hope that you will join us for that. And now let's enjoy ourselves a nice, delicious buffalo chicken pasta recipe. For this one, you're going to need kosher salt to taste, 12 ounces of rotini, which is the spiral pasta, 2/3 a cup of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of salted butter, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1.5 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs cubed into bite-sized pieces, black pepper to taste, 2 celery stalks sliced thin plus leaves for topping, 3 garlic cloves minced, 3 garlic cloves minced, 1 small white onion diced, 4 ounces, about 1/4 cup of light lager beer, 1 cup of heavy cream, 1/3 cup of buffalo style hot sauce, such as Frank's Red Hot, plus more to taste. I'm losing it. 1/2 cup of crumbled blue cheese, about 2 ounces for topping. The directions. You'll bring a large pot of salted water to a boil. Cook the pasta according to package directions. Drain and set aside. Meanwhile, place the flour in a shallow dish. Heat the butter and oil in a large skillet over medium-high heat. Next, season the chicken with salt and pepper. Lightly dredge the chicken in the flour, shaking off any excess, and add it to the skillet. Brown the chicken, turning occasionally, for 3 to 4 minutes. Remove the chicken to a plate and set aside. Reserve some of the chopped celery for topping and add the rest to the skillet along with the garlic and onion. Cook over medium-high heat until softened, 2 to 3 minutes. Add the beer and deglaze the pan, scraping the bottom with a wooden spoon to release all the flavorful bits. Add the heavy cream and hot sauce and bring to a simmer. Add the reserved chicken and pasta to the skillet. Season with a pinch of salt and pepper and continue to cook until the sauce thickens and everything has come together, 1 to 2 minutes. Taste and adjust the spice levels as needed. Serve the pasta topped with the blue cheese, reserved slices of celery, and celery leaves. Enjoy.
For some people, small, beautiful events is what life is all about.
Hello, country.
I'd like to remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music themed recipes.
And basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rockin', boppin', and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
Oh, can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.